people normally work per day? How many hours?
It all depends the time of the year.
Okay.
From December, like December, January, February, March.
Uh-huh.
We call it, this is a winter month now.
Right.
We put in 18, 20 hours a day.
How about the
even
others?
Sunday?
Even Sunday, seven days a week.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How about the other times of the year?
Other times, a little bit, we would put in at least about 12.
12 minimum.
12 hours, yeah.
Yeah. I see. What time do you start?
We start at midnight. There's no stop to it.
Well, I assume there is a time that you start and there's a time you stop normally to go home.
Normally, sometimes, it all depends. Sometimes, you know, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m., you close up.
Oh, you close up.
You go home.
You go home.
For the day.
And then,
at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back again.
Is that the normal hour? You start around 9 and you work until whenever you finish?
Those days, we don't have any unions. And so, we are on our own. As long, if you open 24 hours, it's your business.
You didn't hire anybody, right? Your father, this was
my father at the time, no. But when I took over those times, when I came back, I took over the business.
Right. Right.
We hired somebody.
But at that time, were there any unions?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's first of all, we have 3 of us working all together. We call it partnership.
Uh-huh,
partnership.
Right, partnership. Each of you work the same number of hours.
And then when I went back to China, the first time my dad took me back to China, 1933, I went back home, not even 6 months, I received a cablegram from my uncle. He said, you better return, come back to America, otherwise there'd be no business for you when you return.
So you had to come back.
And so I came back.
When you say you had to work 18 hours per day during the
20 hours, yeah.
Yeah, winter season, why was that so?
We had to sort tomatoes and the sorting vegetables from Mexico. All those times the tomatoes are from Mexico.
What's wrong with tomatoes from California?
No.
There weren't any?
No, there weren't any at those times. All frosted. You see. Too cold for tomato.
Oh.
And so we have to ship in from
Mexico.
Those days the transportation is bad.
Uh-huh.
And mostly by freight train from Mexico.
Right, right. And they come in
They come in jet green.
Right.
Really green.
Really green.
And then when we got it, tomatoes, so we have to sort it. There's some little pinkish kind of color in there, you know. And so we separate them, the pink, the green, the ripe. And then sometimes we have to cover it with a piece of canvas, put the little kerosene lamp in the middle. Right in the middle. We leave a little space right in the middle.
Oh, in the like on the ground, you pile them on the ground and you put a
cover it with a canvas.
Oh, I see. And
that
gives
it heat. Give it heat, contain the heat inside. That will ripen it in due time.
Oh, how long does that take?
It all depends on the fruits. It doesn't. Sometimes you leave it alone for 2-3 days. Or you maybe have to sort it out every day. That's why you have to spend that many hours.
Oh, because every day you have to find the
not only
ripe
tomatoes. See, we have to have other kind of vegetables, cabbage, potatoes.
And they all need to be sorted?
All to be sorted. Sometimes the cabbage had to be trimmed. Lettuce had to be trimmed.
Oh.
And other kind of vegetable you have to work over. You have to clean it. Is it not like it is not like a present day, they ship in by those big semi trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It only take a few hours to get to the LA market, you know. But those days they came days from Mexico.
Weren't there machines to do this sort of sorting available?
Machines?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mostly. Manually, not much machine those days.
I see. And everybody had those hours. When you were sorting tomatoes, everybody else was sorting
tomatoes. Mostly Chinese that hour, that many hours.
What do the other Caucasians?
The other Caucasians, well, they don't do those.
So who sorts
them? We call it the jobber, those jobbing house.
Oh, the jobbers do.
Mm-hmm.
They hire people to.
They hire people to do it, yeah.
I see.
And it's a matter of more like a venture in a produce business. It's perishable, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More like a gamble.
Well, hopefully you will sell them before they perish.
Uh-huh. And so you have to know that merchandise, if it hold up good, you'll buy in.
Right. What else besides sorting vegetables did you have to do?
Well,
what kind of work? Describe your...
You put up orders, say there's a client coming, one so many quantity, so many these, an article, say 10 case of that, 15 case of this, or 2-3 case of that, and so you have to put them all together, and what kind of merchandise they want, what class they want.
Uh-huh.
Do they want to pay top price, or for instance, like a restaurant, you don't have to buy it. We are number one merchandise, see, the great. But the store, the fruit stand, they have to have good merchandise.
Yeah.
And so it all depends on what kind of people, what kind of the customer, what they demand, what they want.
And then you have to
put up orders.
Get it from
and then from they don't have, we'd have to deliver it.
Oh, you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they come and pick it up?
They do have, sometimes they have a truck to come pick it up. Sometimes they don't have car, no transportation. We have to deliver.
Oh, I see. Did you have to do any bookkeeping and things of that sort?
You do everything.
Did you hire an accountant?
Mm-hmm. Those early days, you know, we don't have to pay income tax.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. No social security, anything like that sort.
Oh, so you got every penny.
No board of equalization or things like that. You don't have to do
it. You don't even have to have a license?
A business license is all we require.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very easy. They come to you.
Oh, I see.
Because when the city need money, you know, they come to you.
Oh, you pay X number of dollars for a license. Uh-huh. And that's good for the whole
I don't
year.
Remember exactly how much, you know.
How much did you make during those days? For your store, what was your daily number of dollars or monthly income or annual income that you could think of?
I would say that annually better.
Uh-huh, yeah,
average up better that way, annually.
Back in those days,
mm-hmm.
20s.
Sometimes you make about 4,000 or 5,000, that's about all. And then more than that, as time...
That's split among the three of you?
No, the total.
That's what I mean, the total...
The total net profit, store,
net profit
would be about 4,000 or 5,000 a year.
A year, and each of you would get... Which a third of
get,
that.
Uh-huh. Sometimes we don't get any money out of it. We use it as a capital.
You have to have some money out, don't you, to live?
Well, we, what you call it, use the, whatever we get, we charge it, you know, from the company. We go to lunch,
I see.
The company pays
it.
For it.
Ah,
the
see.
Rent at the house, the company pays for it.
I see.
That's what I said, the net profit. Very interesting those days. Think back of it.
4 or 5, how much is that of today's dollars? In today's dollars?
In today's dollar?
You know, 4 or 5 thousand. Would that be like?
Mm-hmm. I would say about triple.
Triple?
And today, today's
value. 4 or 5 thousand. Because to think today, that would only mean 15,000 if you tripled
mm-hmm.
it.
That's about. Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do much with 15,000 split among the four of you, or three of you?
Those things, those days, the things are very cheap. You know.
That's why I'm saying you're talking about today's dollar. Okay, well, how much do things cost? How much did you sell, for instance, a case of lettuce for, or a case of cantaloupes?
Those days, the packages are different.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, the packages improve. As time goes on, they improve it, you know.
Right.
The old days, a sack of potato weighs about 125 pounds. They sell by weight.
Right.
But nowadays, they standard weight, 100 pounds or 50 pounds.
Right. So when you sell them to the, sell potatoes, for instance, to your clients, you sell them per pound, don't you?
By weight, right. Mm-hmm.
Cents per pound, 3 cents per pound or something like that.
A dollar, you mean, something like
that.
A dollar a sack.
A sack.
A dollar and a half a sack like that, you
oh,
see.
Oh, okay.
By weight, you know.
Were your partners, your relatives, your uncle and something?
In a certain time, at the very beginning, no, it was among friends, a couple of friends or so. I need them to sway and get away. You see, my dad, and I went back to China. I have to have somebody take over. And so I asked, give him a condition. I said, oh, you work the store as is, as just three, like three of us. And meanwhile, I'm going away with my dad, and you guys can carry on. Actually, it's two men work there.
Oh.
And then as time goes on, the business goes on, I got my cousin came in.
Mm-hmm. How much capital did you have to put down, or did your father have to put down to start the business?
As a matter of fact, we don't have any capital at all. What I got is I left maybe $1,000,
uh-huh.
My own money, I left it over there. I said, yeah. Hey, you guys can purchase. Used them as a capital.
Yeah. Oh, but didn't your father already own a business?
See, and produce business is a very peculiar business. Not like any other business. You sell. You don't sell the business. As nobody buy the business, you sell goodwill, the place.
All right.
That's it. Yeah. And so when my dad pulled out there. He took all the money with him, naturally, you know.
Right, yeah. As I guess the day he stopped selling vegetables and fruits, that's the day his business terminated.
In those days, the produce business is very demanding like that. They're very demanding. But you don't have, as a matter of fact, you don't have to have too much capital to run the business. It costs, you get in from the farmer, and then you sold it, you get the money. And then you pay your farmer.
But you have to locate a place. You have to have a place, right? You have to pay the
store.
Oh,
you have to have a place. That's why we already had the place.
Yeah, that's what I mean. To pay the first and last month rent of the store or whatever security deposit and plus business license plus whatever equipment you need, how much did all that take to set up the business?
Not too much.
$100?
I don't quite remember how much, you know. All I can remember the rents, mostly around about $35 a month, that's about all.
I see.
And the business license, I don't remember exactly how much. Yes.
And so it was
it's
fairly easy.
35, 40 years ago.
Yeah. So it was easy for anyone to get into the business, wasn't it?
Except
you have to learn.
There's what we call it a squatter, you know. Instead of inside a house like we have, they do business out in the yard. Put a little like tent like out there doing a store, we call it.
Retail.
There's some Chinese, a lot of Chinese do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But instead, when the day's over, they had to haul everything away.
Right.
More like a swap meat market. Uh-huh.
Swap.
Flea market, what you call it.
Right. How much business did you have? For instance, how many cases of cabbage did you sell every day?
I couldn't answer you the question. Very difficult to answer you the question.
Was there a certain percentage of profit, or how did you price the system?
How do you price them?
How do you price your goods?
How do you price them?
Uh-huh.
You price them according to the market demand.
I see.
For instance,
else is charging?
Well, for instance now, I got 100 cases of tomato on hand. Whereas at the same time, nobody else have it.
Uh-huh.
I ask as much as I need, if I want.
Oh.
For instance, you are dealing with your client. You need tomato. You couldn't get it anywhere else. And so you come to me. I say, Mr. Lee, how about give me 10 cases? How about give me 50 cases?
Uh-huh.
Well, I say, yes, okay. If I don't like you, I say, go get yourselves, and at the same time, that this is the only Chinese can cuss out those customers. You can call it SOB, you know.
Why would you do that to him?
Because it's annoying you. You don't want to sell, you don't want to give him, you don't want to sell it to him. You want to take care of your own trade. They
I
come
understand.
Around.
You, don't you want to sell your tomatoes?
No,
even
we got our own client to look after.
Oh,
huh?
I see. Yeah.
But if I got surplus,
uh-huh.
if I like that guy, come around here. Uh-huh. So, sometimes the Jews come around here, beg you. Really, they get down on their knee. Please, give me some money, give me some. And that's the only business Chinese can do that. You can, yeah, use the SOB. And you can cuss it all you want and say, get out of my way.
No
other business
can
do that.
Pardon? Sell them. If you don't like them, you can also refuse to sell them.
You can insult them if you want. You can, as I said, use the SOB word.
No, I mean, you did have the right not to sell things to
Oh, yeah,
you,
you did have the right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see. So it was hard to put down like a percentage profit margin, say you put across the board 20% above cost or something like that.
Sometimes those early days, you can make only 10%, sometimes 5%. You're very competitive.
Oh, very competitive.
Uh-huh, yes. I see. That's what I said now. In the produce business, it's more like a gamble business. You take a venture at it, you gamble,
uh-huh.
you're just buying like buying stocks.
Well, do you lose money then?
Sometimes lose money. As time goes on, and then the health department steps in, the inspector comes in here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a load of lettuce or cabbage or spinach, whatever it is. Inspector comes around here, took the article, smell it. He said, oh, contain arsenic or the insecticide.
Uh-huh.
Put a red tag in there, you can't sell it.
Oh.
And so the inspector would take up that package to the lab and analyze it. If it doesn't qualify, they would put a red tag over it, condemn the whole shipment. But if it's okay, he would come around, release it, and that means I'm going to sell it.
Why don't you, did that happen to you?
Oh yeah, it happened to us.
But
we don't have to stand a loss.
Oh,
the
you
farmer
just return it back to the farmer.
Uh huh. You don't have to return it; just dump it.
Oh, and then you tell the farmer I can't pay you.
Uh huh. Because you got the red, you got the citation.
Oh,
to show, you know.
Okay. Oh well, in that case, then there wasn't much of a chance that you would stand a loss.
And sometimes you bought it outright, as is.
Oh, I see. You have different contracts, right? Sometimes you do you have a contract with the farmers?
No contract on the produce business. The farmers are more like have a little faith in you or confidence. I would say confidentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They, how did you locate these farmers? Did you go out to the fields and look for them or somehow let it be known?
That's a very good question here. How do you locate the farmer? Well, you got little lead anyway. As you handle the certain merchandise, you'll know where the merchandise come from, where that's raised. Maybe it grows in Salinas, maybe Paso Robles, Santa Maria, Watsonville. You know where they are. Well, so take a chance, dry up. We got what you call it, a field man.
You?
We have a field man,
you
know.
Yeah.
And go up there, and we told him, say, you go up there and find out, see if we can get a... So the field man was...
Is a field man hired solely by you or shared by other people too?
It all depends on the field man. Sometimes you share with some other people.
I see. As for the, you said in your market, the terminal, Union
yeah.
Terminal market.
Right.
50% Chinese, right?
Mm-hmm.
And would you say of those people, how many had only like American customers, and how many sold only to Chinese?
Most of us are dealing with American customers. I know when it comes to American, I say you know, Italian, Greeks,
not Chinese.
Very few Chinese patronize us.
Why?
Because there's only place they can get the produce. You know, they don't need too much.
Right.
Those peddlers, you know, they have a horse wagon.
No, I meant, for instance, Chinese restaurants and Chinese grocery stores. Where do they get their goods from?
Not very many Chinese grocery stores in L.A.
What about restaurants, Chinese restaurants?
Restaurants, they get their own supplies from some of those, what you call it, hauling men. You see, like I'm hauling, you have a store, I go and say, approach you, say, Jack, how many can I supply you with produce or any other kind of grocery? Even they go around to get business, solicit business. And so they come to the market, buying produce, and then supply the store. Some, the restaurant, same thing. Even nowadays, though they're like the big boy hamburger stands, well, there's a guy come and supply them with the produce, lettuce and tomato. Telephone his wife, she's in there.
Were most of the people who were in your business single or married?
They're married. In the old days, they all married. A lot of them, they married and they left their wife in China.
Or
bachelor here.
So they were married, but they were, in effect, bachelors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
Most of those days, you know, they can't bring their wife over. Right after World War II. And so they start coming in.
So back in the 20s and the 30s, they most of them at least lived alone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Without their wives, I see.
Hardly any Chinese family here.
How much did the jobbers make? The jobbers that worked for other people? You know?
That's a difficult question to answer.
How much did they make? Did you
ever hire any? Pardon?
Did you ever hire any jobbers or helpers?
You don't hire jobbers.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
You hire helpers.
Yeah, I thought jobbers meant.
No. The jobbers is those guys that handling big quantity.
Oh, excuse me.
See? Like maybe a carload of lettuce. He's a jobber. More like a broker, they call it now.
Oh,
in other words, call it a broker.
Okay.
Same as a jobber, same as a broker.
How about helpers, people you hire to help you sort out tomatoes and
You don't you don't hire anybody to sort it out. You do it yourself. That's why you put in 14, 16, 18 hours.
If you were to hire someone because you were sick, how much would you have to pay them? You never hired anyone?
No.
And most produce businesses didn't hire people?
The old days, no.
I see. And did most people live in the same kind of houses you lived in?
Yeah, mostly. Mm-hmm.
They rented A-frames?
Yeah.
Did they have any social activities?
Social activity? Well,
yeah, like gambling.
We have a Chinese agriculture association, called Tao Yang, called Nong Chan Xiong Wei. We have an association there, but right now it's very few members of now.
Back in those days, what did the members of the associations do?
Play MJ and play pool. That's about it.
MJ and pool, I see.
Yeah, that's about it.
Was there any other kind of gambling besides mahjong?
No. We don't do much gambling. Naturally, there's a gambling house there on the restaurant, you know.
Uh-huh.
Those whoever favor gamble. They participate.
Were there any other kind of social activities?
Hardly.
There weren't really enough time.
No time. That's right, no time. The only time we have is mostly Saturday.
I thought you worked 7 days a week.
A few hours Saturday sometimes.
During the winter seasons, you work 7 days a week, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
But not in the other months, right?
Well, even in summertime, you if you want to work Saturday, Sunday, it's all your own. It's up to you.
Uh-huh. But your clients will not come on a Saturday.
No,
Sunday.
They don't come.
I see. How did you handle the packing and delivery of the produce?
Packing, delivery?
Yeah, packing. How did you pack and deliver your...
Well, in cases after cases, in cases.
Wooden cases?
Yeah, wooden crates, boxes.
They come in cases already, right?
Yeah, sometimes you have to break it up. You know, a certain party wants only a dozen.
Yeah.
A certain party maybe wants six heads.
Uh-huh.
You know, certain items are different. And so you have to put them all together. That's the time consumed now.
Uh-huh.
You put it up and you market this for John's market, this for Jack's market.
Uh-huh.
And if John wants delivery, you got to deliver it. Maybe Jack comes in for himself. There it is.
How about lettuce? Did lettuce get different treatment, or were they treated like everything?
Same thing.
Those
old days, the lettuce come in big boxes. It comes in 4 dozen packages, 4 dozen in a box, see?
Uh-huh.
And some customer can't use the 4 dozen.
Right.
And so you split it up, give them half.
And put them in a smaller box?
Yeah, put them in smaller boxes.
Yeah.
And then pile them up, stack it up there, we truck it out there for them, load it up on the truck.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to live comfortably on what you made back
in those days? On those days, we have no complaint coming. You know, we faced the consequence anyway. We know the hardships on. We understood it's a hardship. And so we can't complain. You don't do so, what else are you going to do? I said, what else are you going to do, you know?
No, did you make a decent living, in other words?
Well, you have to be satisfied as what you made.
relative to today, were you able, for instance, to afford your daily needs and have some left over? Were you able to save some money?
Well, yeah, if you don't have any bad habit.
Oh, I see.
Mm. We call it, you know, three Chinese get together, they gamble.
So
three Chinese get together, they want to gamble.
I see. Did you buy your produce mostly from American farmers?
The early days, on the 20th and 30th, mostly Chinese farmers. And Japanese farmers.
Oh, why not the American farmers?
American don't do farming.
Oh.
Not very many farming do. Those days, the farmers are a small scale, not like present days, you know.
And where were these farms located?
All suburban LA. El Monte, Artesia.
Oh. Suburban,
the
huh?
Fountain Valley nowadays, you know, they all build houses.
Yeah.
And then Puente.
How about San Fernando Valley?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Quite a few Chinese up in San Fernando have asparagus growth up there.
Right.
Farm, anyway.
Uh-huh.
There's a Wong family asparagus grow up there.
Okay. Have you ever stopped working since you began?
Stop working with my dad?
No. Stop working, period. Go on vacation. You said 1933, you mentioned
mm-hmm.
that one. And 35,
later years,
and 1951. Oh, wow, way after that. You mean between 37 and 51, you never stopped working?
No, there was
no vacation?
Only the time I stopped, only went back to China.
I see. Why did you have to go back to China all those three times?
Now listen, here's the question now. Confidentially.
Uh-huh.
On 1933, I went back with my dad. I got married there.
Oh, okay, good. And then 35?
Uh-huh, went back, visit the family.
Your wife didn't come back with you, right?
No.
So you went to visit her?
Right.
And 37, you went to see her?
Right.
Oh, I see. Did they ever come? I'm sure they came, yes. She's right here.
No.
She isn't?
My first wife died 1941 in Hong Kong. She was ready to come over to America. I was ready to go back there and bring her over. And then Pearl Harbor start. I got my passage, but July. And then the State Department sent me a letter. Says, sorry, no space available for you. And so likely you are not going to make the trip. And so by November, totally canceled my trip. You know.
In the meantime, your wife was waiting for you in Hong Kong?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the war started.
Yeah, the war
and then
started.
She got cholera, then she died.
Oh, cholera.
Mm-hmm, cholera.
Did she have any children?
Yeah, got two.
Two?
A boy and a girl.
And back, they were all born and raised back in the...
They was in Hong Kong. She was in Hong Kong.
I see. Okay.
And then
did
when
they come over?
Huh?
Did they come over?
My
the children?
Yeah.
After the war?
1947, I went back there, I brought them over.
That's how old